The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus for this day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the main thing that I wish to bring to your attention this morning, due to the weather, because it is unpleasant outside, and that is that we will not have catechism class this morning for the children, so that you can get into your cars quickly and leave and not stay out in this weather. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Please pardon me for my weakness. But both of today's readings are very necessary and are very much to the point. In these, our days, it has been said in past years that there is a remnant of people left who believe. That was true, I think, once upon a time, but I think it was an overstatement. I think it would be more accurate to say today, that there is nothing left but a remnant of the remnant left to believe. Who believes today? St. Thomas was a stubborn old man. He was very hard-headed. And unless something was presented to him in black and white, absolutely and positively, and unless he himself put his finger, not somebody else's finger, but his finger, not somebody else's hand, but his hand, he would not believe. Today, even among the remnant that we speak of or think of, do we ever hear from them, any of them, in print, in word, or in any way, shape, or form? Do we ever believe or hear from them, or rather should say, all we hear from them is what they think, what they have to say about this or that or the other, the argument for this, the proof for that, the debate for the other? All we hear from them is what they think. Unless I have proof, I will not believe. Not one word in any print that you run into today do you hear such a thought or see of such a thought that I believe. St. Thomas. All that was asked of him was to believe. Did our Lord, after he had taken Thomas's finger, figuratively speaking, of course, and his hand, figuratively speaking, of course, until he had taken his finger in his hand and put it into the print of the nail, into the cut in the side, Thomas believed. Did our Lord then finally ask Thomas, now Thomas, since you have put your finger into the nail print and your hand into my side, now Thomas, do you understand? Not at all. He only wanted one word. Thomas, do you believe? We demand understanding. And then that's why we fall short of our holy religion. Christ did not ask us to understand the Eucharist, did he? When he was going down the avenue in a crowd, and there was a poor woman crawling around, and she said to herself, if I will just touch his clothes. What did this woman understand or have, what kind of theological, argumentative, polemical, or intellectual, or what kind of knowledge did this woman have of him? If I will just touch his clothes. And when he argued with her, and she said, even the dogs have a right to the scraps of the master's table. There was no thing of understanding with this poor woman. She simply knew that if she just touched his clothes, she would be all right. And on that day of Good Friday, there were three of them hanging on the cross on the mountaintop. And one of them, of the three, was condemning him. But the other one did not know anything about him. All that the other one knew was that this Jesus of Nazareth was good and did not deserve punishment. But that of himself, that he was not good and that he deserved punishment. That's all he knew. And yet he said what he said. When you come into your kingdom, think of me. That's all he said. There was no big argument, no big proof, no big high-sounding words. All he says, just think of me. And of course, we cannot leave the poor publican and the Pharisee out of the situation. What did the poor publican know about this Jesus of Nazareth, or about God, or about anything? All he knew was how to collect money so that he could hand it over to the Romans. That's all this poor man knew. But yet, he stood off at a distance in the shadows, hiding behind a column someplace in the huge temple, because he knew and understood what kind of a man he really was. And all he could say was, oh God, be merciful to me. And of course, we also have the great story of Mary Magdalene. And we know about that. In every one of, there were others, in every one of these, was there any kind of high class, supercalifragilistic argument, proving, statements made, polemics brought out, all that stuff that means nothing. All that you hear, all that you see is so simple, so tiny, so really unnoticeable, really, is that these people, people like you and me, people suffering, people sick, people poor, people scared, just like you and just like me. And all they had to say was, "I believe." The poor man who for years could not get to the little pool when the angel came to stir the water because there was nobody there to bring him to the water, cried out for help. He got it. Blessed are you. He didn't say, because you understand. He said, blessed are you because you believe. And the poor man on the street that started making all kinds of noises when he heard this crowd coming, he wanted to know what it was about. He couldn't see them because he was blind. He was blind from birth. He had never ever seen the light of day. And he cried out, "Who is it? What's this all about?" And he was told what it was all about. He was told by others to shut up and stop making so much noise. But he wouldn't shut up. He kept making noise. Our blessed Lord said, "What do you want?" He said simply, "Lord, that I may see." That's all. What else is there to say? But what have we turned it into? We've turned it into a pit where different thoughts clash with each other. We have no peace. We have no serenity. We have no calm of interior holiness or whatever we're seeking for. We're there seeking someone, somewhere, someplace to argue with and to prove and to show how great our mental capacity is, to show how many books we've read, to indicate how well we can speak and how well we can present our position of thought, our own opinion. Unless we become as little children. The little child, the tiny little child, scared, hurt, bleeding perhaps, or whatever. It runs to its mother, and its mother puts her arms about this child. The child does not know the mother's intellectual capacities. The child does not know its mother's ability to argue. Its child does not know the beauty of its mother, or the ugliness of its mother, or the thinness of its mother, or the fatness of it. Nothing about its mother. The only thing the child knows is when I jump into her lap and when she puts her arms around me, I'm all right. And nothing more is said, and the child goes to sleep in the peace of heaven. My dear people, that's all that is asked of us. Why don't we do that? What keeps us from doing that? Why do we not run and jump into his lap? That's all he wants us to do, precisely that. Why don't we do that? Why do we prefer to go on our own strengths, our own financial capabilities, intellectual structure, or whatever else we may have that we think is praiseworthy, our social standing, whatever else? What is social standing at the moment of death? What is financial security at the moment of death? What is intellectual abilities at the moment of death? What is anything at the moment of death? The only thing that will matter to me at the moment of death is that I can run and jump into his lap. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. In all of the fol-de-rol that I am interested in, that promotes my name and gives me importance, would not be worth a row of pins at the moment of death, my death. I am not asked to understand. I cannot understand, because understanding of what we're talking about, as I have said before, is like trying to put the entire ocean into a thimble. I cannot understand the immensity of God. I can only believe it. And that's all I'm asked to do. I'm only asked to love. I'm only asked to hope. I'm only asked to realize that if I jump into his lap, I'm all right. Unless we become as little children, men in particular have a problem with this, because men like to think that they are tough, and that men are not scared and not worried and concerned. Men like to think and to show that everything is, could I use the word that I don't like, but I will use it, and remember that I said I don't like it. They want to think that everything is cool. You know? I can only tell you something, you don't know who I'm talking about. Of a certain man who came here once, a very tough man, a very rugged man, a man who feared no other man. He was in control of everything. His voice indicated power and might. His eyes demonstrated fearlessness. And I remember that he was leaving, and we stopped in the middle of a doorway. And he was leaning against the doorpost. And as he said, turned around to say goodbye to me, this tough man broke down and cried. Dear people, we are the remnant of the remnant. I cry. I'm not ashamed of it. I can't help it. I want us to go to the reward that has been promised to those who believe. All other conditions to the contrary, notwithstanding, that's where we are today. And in our belief that we come down on our knees and say with honesty of heart, I believe.